Well, I'd be thankful for your prayers this morning. Lord, bless his word to our hearts and give me the utterance, ability to bring it out as I believe he would have for us. I'd like to begin in the book of Matthew, 21st chapter. I'd like to read the account of a time that is recorded of Jesus being hungry. Matthew 21, and beginning in the 17th verse, says, "And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus then used that as an occasion to teach him a lesson about faith, and about how much they might be able to do or to accomplish through faith. Because it's not of ourselves. We don't have the ability or the power or the strength. I could say to any fig tree, don't bear fruit from henceforward. And it wouldn't mean a thing. My words don't carry that much weight that a tree would hear and respond. And if you think about even if you were to spray the tree in some way to kill it, in that manner, it would take a space of time for it to soak up the poison into the tree and for it to kill it and to see the effects of it. But they marveled when they looked on and they noticed how quickly, believe another one of the Gospels that records that it was on their way back whenever they saw this, and they marveled at how soon it was withered away. But I think about what Jesus was doing. This word, Jesus cursed the tree, certainly doesn't mean that he lashed out in anger as we hear people so often cursing in our world today. But Jesus, whenever he came along, it is said that he hungered. And he came to a tree, another one of the Gospels said that lest haply he might find fruit thereon. Well, was it reasonable for Jesus to expect fruit on this tree? Do you think Jesus would require something that's unreasonable? The scripture says that he is our reasonable service. Whenever Jesus told the woman that was caught in adultery, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." Would Jesus have required and commanded and judged somebody on the basis of something that he knew full well wasn't possible? It wasn't possible for her to go away and not sin. Well, it wasn't possible in herself, nor is it in any of ourselves. The ability to live a godly and a righteous and a holy life, it's not of ourselves. But whenever Jesus says, go and sin no more, that command is accompanied by the grace and the strength and the power to be able to perform that which he has commanded. You see, there are a lot of religions that lay out, this is how you're going to live, how you're not going to live. Someone called me just the other day and they were asking about the Church of God and what do you believe and what are your doctrines? And they kept asking, well, what is your, what do they call it? What is your book of conduct or your book of discipline? What is your book of discipline? And he was wanting me, I believe, to send that to him so he could read through it. And I kept saying to him, we have none but the Bible. The Bible is our rule of faith. It is what we go back to. It is what we measure ourselves to. It is what gives us our code of conduct. We don't need an addendum to it. We don't need something on top of it because this is insufficient or inadequate. It is sufficient. But mankind has so often in man's religions, well, we have to distinguish our religion from any other religion. So here's what your rules are going to be. this is what you're going to dress like. Maybe this is the kind of clothing you're going to wear, or the colors that you're going to wear, or a specific kind of hat that's going to mark and distinguish you as being of our religion, of our beliefs. Man can give rules. Man can tell you how to live. But Jesus can cause you to live. And that's the wonderful difference, I believe, between the religions, one of so many, the religions of this world, and what an experience of salvation in the heart of an individual will do for us. He gives us life. And it's not just a requirement. Go and do this. Go and sin no more. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do what you're requiring here. And if I fall short, judgment falls upon me. Thank the Lord, this gospel is greater than that. There is a power and a strength to enable us to live a life that is pleasing unto God. So back to the question, would Jesus have required something that was unreasonable? When it says here that he came along and he saw a tree that had leaves on it. My understanding, I'm not an expert in this by any means myself, my understanding was the fig tree puts on the fruit first, followed by the leaves. So if you come under a fig tree that has leaves on it, it means that if you maybe you pull the branches apart, you're going to find figs on it. Because that is the natural process. And a fig tree is going to do what a fig tree does. You don't, of course, have to teach a fig tree what a fig tree is supposed to do. You don't have to teach it what kind of fruit it's supposed to put on. Men may be confused in our world today. Genders may be confused and all of that. God's nature isn't. You don't have to teach it what God made it to be and what it's supposed to do. It just does it. It's just instilled with the DNA, the information, whatever you want to say, to do what it's supposed to do. The nature to bring forth from a fig seed or pit or whatever it is to bring forth a fig tree. And the nature of a fig tree is to bring forth its fruit in its season. I don't believe Jesus would have come along in the dead of winter when there's no way it would have been bearing fruit anyway, and say, from henceforth bear no fruit. But it was at a time of year when it should have been bringing forth fruit. It was already leafed out. It had an appearance to it that it should have had fruit to it. And so it came with the just expectation that there ought to be fruit here. And there was none. Paul spoke to one of the churches and he said, brethren or beloved, I am persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation. There is an expectation that I have, he's saying, because I know what salvation does. I know what the nature of God is. And I know what the love of God spread abroad in your heart. I know what it's going to produce. So brethren, some of the things that I'm seeing and I'm hearing about you, I am persuaded of better things. I'm expecting something better than that out of you because of what God's able to do. We've heard Brother Rick share the story of the man that he's worked with that doesn't understand the doctrine of the Bible and teaching of living free from sin. And he's told him and said, brother, you're limiting what the power of God can do. It's not about what I can do. It's not about the fruit that I can create and produce. But it is about a nature that is sown within me, where I am changed and transplanted from the nature of sin and of this world and corruption. And there's a new nature that's within me. I am a new creation. And there is then an expectation of the work of God to be performed within my heart. And not mine only, not because I'm born into a certain family or I've known the ways of the church of God. You know, the ways of the church of God are not beyond finding out for somebody that wasn't born into it. It's God's ways. And God is able to impart it to, I don't know how you, the most ignorant or the most unlearned person in the darkest reaches and corners of this world. I am persuaded of that, of God. Not that our confidence is in the individual or in the person. Thank the Lord it's not based on our level of education. It's not based on whether or not I've had so many years and I graduate. It's not our membership of the Church of God. It's not based on whether we go through a 9-month or a 12-month probation period where we're examined by the elders of the church and you're going to come up. Now, this isn't far-fetched. This happens. And you're brought before the board and you're going to be given a test to test your level of understanding. Thank the Lord that this is a divine work in the heart. This is about a divine nature that's put within us that does something that I'm not able to do. May we never bring down the work of God within our lives down to our level of what we're able to do or of something natural. Salvation is not a natural work. Salvation is a supernatural work that's done by God and can only be done by God. It is not enough for us to have a bunch of leaves. It is not enough for us to have a profession or an appearance that when you're walking down the road and you see it from a distance, you say, well, they look like a Christian. They're dressed like a saint. That is not enough in and of itself. There is an expectation of the work of God in our hearts. If the seed the scripture talks about, the kingdom of heaven, is being like that seed was a mustard seed, I believe, that is so small, it's the least of all seeds. And yet when it's planted, it groweth up. The thing it says, something like, the husbandman knoweth not how. It's not the husbandman that's stretching it out and training it and teaching it. You plant this thing and you give it the right conditions and soil that's been cultivated and a heart that's been broken up and repentant. And you know what that seed's going to do? The same as the seed has always done. Remember reading a while back about during an excavation, they uncovered a vessel that had some seeds in it that they believed dated back to, I don't know, it was the time of Christ or right around that time. And so they looked at those seeds and they wondered, could it grow again? And so they began to cultivate the soil and they planted it and they watered it and took care of it. And, you know, it sprang forth. I believe it was a certain kind of palm tree that is no longer existent of that variety. But it would have been what Jesus, no doubt, would have walked by and seen. And all those years later, that seed that was put away and kept up in a vessel, it still had the same potential. It still had the same information in it. It hadn't lost its ability to become a flourishing palm tree. So it is all these years later of the gospel work in men and women's hearts. Folks, it's still the same today. It hasn't lost its power. If the seed of the gospel is planted within a receptive heart, folks, it will begin to grow. It will begin to bring forth fruit. And there is an expectation of that fruit. The 6th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 6 and the 43rd verse says, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit." Well, how unreasonable. No, it's not. Because that's what a tree does. I know there are ways through grafting and all. I believe they have what they call a fruit salad tree. They've grafted together that can bring forth from the same tree oranges and limes and lemons. But a tree by nature is, of course, going to bring forth that from what it was brought forth. And so in our lives, we will, as children of God, I'm not talking about a leafed out resemblance or representation or something that looks similar, but when we are the planting of the Lord, we can know that there will be life, there will be growth, and there will be fruit that's brought forth from our life. And the fruit that comes out of our life will be by the working of God of the same nature and type from which our spiritual life sprang forth. it'll be that which is of Christ. That's how it says you know the tree, by its fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. It's about what's going on down inside. And yet we heard those that were there in the meeting there in Vanceburg, Brother Marty brought out, the outward appearance is not to be diminished. People can't see down into our heart, but people can sure see what comes forth from our heart. They can sure see the actions and the activity and the things on the outward manifestation of our life that are witness to and testify of what's going on down inside. Oh, I want to bring forth good fruit. I want to bring forth something that is not of the bitter. You ever eat a persimmon out of season? And you bite into it. If you haven't, there's no use me even trying to explain it to you, because you just got to try it. And I'll leave that as your homework assignment if you're brave enough to. But folks, when people bite into the fruit of this world, it's bitter. It leaves a bitter aftertaste. I'm persuaded better things of you, Paul said. Things that accompany, or fruit that accompanies salvation, that's to be sweet and juicy. Think about here in the 13th chapter of Luke. Still thinking about this expectation Christ had of the fig tree. It says in 13:6, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? See here from this that the husbandman came along. He had given it the due season and time during which it should be bringing forth fruit. And it still wasn't. These 3 years he came back expecting something. Looking on and expecting again, reasonably so, that there ought to be some figs coming forth from this tree. Well, I'll come back again. There ought to be some figs coming forth from this tree. And it still didn't. So what good was the tree then? Did he have the tree planted in the vineyard as they have ornamental pear and all? This was not an ornamental fig tree. This wasn't something that was planted to just be pretty. And we in our lives are not planted to just be pretty. There is an expectation of something that's to come forth from our lives. He said, why cumbereth it the ground? In other words, it's useless. It's good for nothing except to be gathered together and cut it down and throw it on the fire. Let it burn. In other words, that's the only value that it has. I want to have some value. Folks, the value of our own righteousness, the value of us producing our own fruit, is really worthless. Our own righteousness is as filthy rags. I need the Lord to bring forth some fruit in my life. That makes it of value. I'd like to turn now to the book of John, a familiar passage here in the 15th chapter. John 15 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I'm not going to just leave the branches because they're branches. There is an expectation that these branches should be bringing forth fruit. We read in the book of Isaiah, the picture that was painted through Isaiah and his words. Behold, my beloved planted a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it to keep the foxes out, and he removed the stones thereof. He had done everything. In fact, he asked the question, what more could I have done than what I've already done? And he came along expecting some sweet, lush grapes from his vineyard. And instead he found wild grapes. What more could I have done? He said. So the Lord's expectation of us whenever we are planted, the planting of the Lord, is that when he comes along to our lives, whenever he tries us, whenever he tests us, the testing and proving times are often the times that show what kind of fruit is it that's in my life. When the Lord comes along expecting the fruit of righteousness, the peaceable fruit, I believe Paul said unto the Hebrews, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. What does he find? The scripture here says, those that aren't bearing any fruit, he cuts them off and removes them. Because as the fig tree we read about in the 13th chapter, there's really no value and no profit to it at that point. Those that bear fruit, he pruneth it. From what I understand of, little bit I understand of vines, of trees, is that you can have a sucker off of that vine that produces no fruit. It's of the vine, but it's not bearing any fruit. And all it's doing is taking the nutrients away from the vines that are bearing the fruit. And so part of the pruning process is to remove that which is not producing any fruit. To cut it off because it's sapping, it's draining the nutrients that's required through the remainder. You know, there have been in my life, and there are perhaps in every one of our lives throughout life, places that the Lord wants to come along and he wants to do some pruning. Places in our lives that aren't productive, that aren't bearing the fruit that the Lord is looking for. There can be, as we've discussed here before, there can be that in our lives that just drains us. It's not bringing any spiritual fruit. It's draining our time and our energy and our affections and our passion and all of that. It's channeled in these other suckers, in these other routes that the Lord wants to come along and say, if you've ever seen the pruning process, it can seem brutal sometimes. No, it's got leaves on it. It's part of the tree. It's part of the vine. But someone that knows what they're doing will go in and snip and snip and cut almost seeming mercilessly. But you wait and give it time and see what that tree does the next year. Folks, the Lord's workings are right. His dealings are just. And they are for a purpose in our lives that we might be able to bear more fruit. Abide in me, he said, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. This really is the essence of my burden this morning, being connected to the vine. Folks, these things that we've been talking about, we can't produce of our own. We cannot make it happen. We cannot cause fruit to come in our lives. You can't take and safety pin a apple under the tree. It's got to come from the roots and the nutrients and the growth and the life that's happening in the tree itself. And then whenever that's happening, it'll bring forth fruit. Far too often, people focus on the symptoms rather than the root cause. People will be dealing with, I don't know why, I keep falling into this same place, this same trap, this same pitfall. I don't know why this same weakness keeps overcoming me over and over and over again. I don't know why I keep struggling with that. I remember a time that I worked with a young man that came to work and he was acting kind of loopy. And I said, you doing okay? So, well, I'm on so many pain meds right now, I can't even think straight. Well, what's the problem? I've got an infection in my tooth and he was trying to deal with the problem. There was some infection down inside. There was something that needed to be cleaned out and gotten out. But he dealt with it with pain medications to try to numb it, to try to dull it. You know, we can look at our tree and maybe the leaves are starting to wilt. They're starting to turn brown a little bit. You don't deal with that problem by dealing with the leaf. It's not an issue of the leaf itself. It's an issue with being connected to the vine. You can see whether a tree is healthy or not in different ways. You can tell from the bark sometimes, or you can tell if it's not leafing out as it should, or not bearing fruit as it should. Lord, help us not to just deal with the symptoms that would crop up in our life. And I'll tell you, if we are not connected to the vine, there will be symptom after symptom. He said, you cannot bear fruit except you abide in me. It doesn't matter how well the vine was dressed in the past. It doesn't matter how professionally it was kept. It doesn't matter how beautiful the fruit used to be on it. If I don't stay connected to the vine every single day, it doesn't matter how long or short a time I've been saved. From the minister on up, every one of us have got to be connected to the vine every day. Yesterday's experience is not enough for today. I've got to be connected to the source for myself today. It doesn't take very long. You cut a flower, or you cut off a branch and cast it aside, and the sun comes up, and it doesn't take very long at all until you see it's just dried and shriveled up. The beauty is gone from it. The productivity or the purpose of it is gone, and it's just ready to be cast aside. Are we really any different? Do any of us really have within ourselves such a great quality or resolve that I can allow myself to be disconnected from the vine and to think that I'm still going to flourish? Well, folks, it has been my experience, I think I could say every time, or nearly every time, in working with somebody that has failed or has fallen in their lives, that you begin to ask, or they begin to share a little bit, well, I haven't been real watchful in my life. I haven't been real careful. I haven't been spending much time with the Lord. I haven't really been praying and reading and looking into His Word. Folks, I can tell you what's going to happen. You remove yourself from the vine, the process of death begins immediately. We've got to, it's a continual process, and it is the purpose of why we're here this morning. It's not for you to come and hear me. There's not much I can do for you. But oh, when we're connected to the vine, the purpose is, in settings like this or in camp meetings that we might go to, is for everyone that's in attendance, get connected to the vine for yourself. Get something for yourself. We need something more than to just be pumped up in camp meeting or in service. To just be encouraged and enjoy the good singing and enjoy the good preaching. Folks, when we go home, we're going to have to be connected. When we go home, we're going to have access every single day to that life-giving source for ourselves that can keep us between camp meetings, that can keep us throughout the week, throughout the tests and adversities. The difference, Brother Joseph, I believe, brought a message here once about trees. If you remember, he talked, what's the difference between a tree that's live and flourishing? And you take a bare wood cabinet and set it out in the elements for a little while. One will rot and decay in a short amount of time. But the other one, some trees have endured for hundreds or perhaps even thousands of years, because there's a source of life. Because it's drawing up nutrients. And I know that, remember whenever I would be growing up and I'd have the chore of watering a plant or flowers and maybe they were drooping and wilting. Well, I see that in the leaf, and I'd be watering the leaves, and it really doesn't, I know the process of photosynthesis and all of that, and it does absorb some nutrients. But for the most part, those nutrients are absorbed up from the source, from the root itself. It's not about the externals. That is a manifestation of what's happened inside. The externals will begin to wilt and dry up if we disconnect ourselves from that source. Lord, I need Thee. Every hour, I need You. And this is for us to realize and remember when I get up in the morning, Lord, whether I feel it keenly today or not, Lord, I need you. Lord, I can't bear fruit today. Maybe I bore fruit yesterday, but I'm not going to be able to today, Lord, unless you help me. We get into trouble whenever we get careless. We get into trouble whenever we lose sight of our dependence on God. Folks, the devil realizes the vitality of this vine. He realizes that there's not much he can do about it. He can cause the heat to come and all of that. But there's something about this tree that though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And it just keeps putting out more leaves and more fruit and flourishing right in the midst of it. The enemy knows the value and the importance of being connected to the vine. And that's the reason why he targets it. It's the reason why he goes after our connection to the vine. Because if he can get in there, if he can begin scoring that branch, or if he can begin restricting the nutrients from flowing into our spiritual life, it is only a short matter of time until it begins to be evident in our attitudes, in our mindset, in our behavior, in our spiritual weakness, in a lack of determination and strength and desire for the things of God. The devil's targeting the source of it all. He can try to pluck leaves, but that's not going to accomplish nearly the same as if he can restrict the flow of nutrients and cause that branch or that vine to begin withering, wilting, and dying. Scripture says, Christ, who is our life, he is our source. Scripture tells us, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Can I rephrase it in the context of what we're talking about this morning? Stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to the vine and we'll continue to flourish. That is, I believe, what every one of us need. No matter who we are, how long we've been saved, what our temptations might be, we're no match for the enemy. We're no match for temptation in and of ourselves. We need to be connected to the vine. We need sometimes, hear me out, to quit acting and trying so hard to act like a Christian and just get connected to the vine. Because when we're connected to Him, the fruit's going to come. Whenever I look on and I say, well, Lord, I need... Well, I'd like to look at 2 Peter. Lord, I need more in my life. 2 Peter 1 and the 4th verse, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But this isn't about a shopping trip where I walk down the aisle and I pick up some grace and I pick up some patience and I add all these things into the grocery cart. This is a process of growing in the Lord where I am neither barren nor unfruitful. And if I am tied in and anchored into that vine, those nutrients will be flowing into my life. If any man lack wisdom, go back to the vine. Let him ask of God. Be tapped into the source of wisdom. If we lack joy, peace, what are the other fruits of the Spirit? Long-suffering, gentleness, patience, meekness, all these things. If I recognize there's a lack here, I don't go deal with the lack by trying to straighten the leaf out and trying to polish it. Or the fruit, take some fruit off of somebody else's tree and try to hang it on mine. It doesn't work that way. But I can tap into the same vine that Brother Paul tapped into. I can tap into the same vine that Brother Peter got a hold of. And it can bring forth the same fruit in my life that it brought forth in theirs. That you be neither barren nor unfruitful in the things of God. So I want to encourage us this morning that we be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. I found that if you take a potted plant or a hanging basket, you have to water it a lot more often. Because the depth of earth isn't there and it dries out a lot quicker. But you take a tree whose roots have gone down deep and it's seeking out the water. It's seeking out the life-giving source. And once it taps into that, the heat can come, the winds can come, the drought can come, but it's tapped into a life-giving source. Lord, help us to be tapped in and connected each and every day of our lives to the vine. It'll bring life, spiritual life. It'll tap into the endless source of grace and power and strength and on and on. The things that in and of myself that I lack. And that maybe if I look back on the past of my life and I'm real honest, I recognize I was short there. I fell short there. I failed there. Almost always. Take another step or two back. Say, you know, I didn't have a good hold of the vine. Lord, help us each one that we'd be connected to the vine. You pray for me. Amen.